And so, and I have in my Bible a picture of a little guy named JT that we're praying for that will find a home. And so we really appreciate you guys being open to that. And we're going to have those opportunities. We put the websites up. We're going to have opportunities for those organizations, like with the Gideons, to connect with those folks. And so if God's speaking to you about that, we're going to be partnering for quite some time. But Matt and I wanted you to know that we're really excited of the response. But I want to come behind what you just heard and kind of frame that for you. Today is really not, the message today is really not about the Gideons. And it's yes, we believe in what they're doing. We want you to partner with them in any way that you can. And we're going to take another offering later to add to that growing number. But today is about two things that help us remember what we're supposed to be. Those in whom Christ dwells and who live in his unshakable kingdom. There are two big reminders. One of them is that we believe that God led us to establish some core values. What is at the core of what we believe is important as a congregation? We believe that we want people to be real. Come as you are, where you are, how you feel about faith, how you feel about church, come. Meet Christ, hear about him. The second one is to be ready to change, knowing that God wants to transform our lives and wants to change us and make us into the best version of ourselves. Then we want to be relational. Everything is about relationships. It's about relationship with God and people. It's about a relationship with Christ, his Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit. It's about relationship with us, and it's about our relationship. So we want to do it. We want to do what God is calling us to do, and relationships are the basis of everything. This last one really connects with what we're talking about today. And our last core value is to release. The commitment that we're going to release some of our best people and our money to go out of our control, to do something that probably won't directly benefit us and our weekly gatherings and the programs that we have. And that's a frightening thing, but it's also a very exciting thing. It's trusting God. And so today about the Gideons is really, having them is really about something that is a core value. We want to release our people and we want to release our money so that God can do whatever he wants to do with it. So if he's speaking to you about that. So a Sunday like this may seem odd, but it really is at the core of what we believe God is called us to be. And it's a reminder that we want to be a people who aren't about scarcity thinking, but are about releasing. Bridge builders release. They don't squeeze. And today is a good reminder, and the Gideons have reminded us not to squeeze, but to release what he's given. Now, the second thing that this day is about that helps us remember what we're supposed to be is the Bible. It's God's word. Now, if you've not experienced the stories of the power of this book, I totally get that that's a confusing thing. How can a book have power? I understand that if you've not experienced it. My challenge to you is to allow the opportunity for that to happen in your life, to get yourself in some way connected with God's word. See, I don't believe that our lives can be transformed into the image of Christ, that we can become the best versions of ourselves minus the Bible. I think it has to be in the mix. Christian faith is not that complicated. There's three things that transform our lives. The body of Christ, you folks, in relationship with one another. The Holy Spirit, whispering, leaning in, doing his transforming power, and God's word, the Bible. It's kind of like if I had a a traditional kind of three-legged stool here, and I ripped one leg off and said, I am going to, for the rest of this mini-sermon, I am going to sit on that stool, and I am totally believing it's going to hold me up, and I would be a fool. Separating God's word from spirit and body means that the only objective thing that we have has pulled out of the mix. The Holy Spirit, all of it is based on that story of God's work through creation. It's the foundation. See, God wants to transform my life and your life, but we've got to allow the Christ of the Bible to start speaking to us. And so, again, if you're skeptical about that, I'm glad you're here. My only challenge is taste and see. Try. I'm going to give you some ideas about that. Listen to this verse from Hebrews. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting through soul and spirit, through joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Now that sounds really troubling and foreboding even. There's like exposed, naked, exposed, accountable. Oh my gosh. See, the problem is, in our culture, we think of being exposed as a bad thing. It really isn't. It's really a good thing. Exposed is the light shining on something. See, if I have a disease, then in my body, maybe I'd just rather somebody deal with the symptoms, the things that they can see. I don't want them going inside. So here's my attitude. See, I don't want an MRI, I don't want an EKG, and I don't want an X-ray. Because if I have those things, then somebody's going to tell me I need surgery. So if I just don't have any of those, then I'm good, right? No. Being exposed, having something exposed that's destructive or doesn't need to be there, that's a good thing. We think of some, you know, TMZ, some pop star being exposed as dating. A microphone being shoved in somebody's. That's, we think of being exposed as that our dirty laundry is being flown in the breeze for all to see. See, it's all about who you're being exposed by, isn't it? TMZ doesn't care about Justin Bieber or whoever else they're exposing. They love him because he makes money for them. If you're being exposed by God's word, then the one who's exposing something wants to heal, wants to change, wants to transform. Yeah, it may mean surgery, but I'm going to come out better on the other end of it. Let me give you some examples. You know, in the last 5 or so years, I've had fear and pride exposed in my life. I had to come to the point where I admitted I had to admit I wasn't leading this congregation well, and I needed to change. I wasn't helping us become a church of disciples who makes disciples. I had to change. I had to grow. I had to grow up. I was thinking in terms of scarcity instead of the abundance of God's kingdom. He has plenty of what I need to do, what he's calling me to do, or he wouldn't be calling me to do it. And I had to come to the end of myself and figure that out. I didn't want to be exposed, but I got exposed, and the one who exposed me loved me. And I'm trying to operate differently, and he's operating differently through me. I really believe, no, I know that prepared me for the worst thing that's ever happened to me, losing my son Quentin. So is exposing a bad thing? No, when God's word exposes, it's for healing. It's for making us the person that we needed to be. Jesus repeats a phrase over and over, particularly in the book of Matthew, but in different forms, for the scriptures say. He says that over and over. He says, haven't you read the scriptures? He says that phrase in Matthew 12, in Matthew 19, in Matthew 21, and another time in Matthew 21, he says, didn't you read this in the scriptures? And then again in Matthew 22. Jesus was always saying, when somebody was coming at him with a question or they were confused, and he was kind of like, you know, didn't you read the scriptures? I mean, what I'm saying shouldn't be out of left field, because the prophets prepared, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, those guys. And so Jesus was always saying, the scriptures have said. The man who was the Word, who was God in human flesh, kept saying to people, do you see the irony in that? The one who was the Word kept pointing to God's Word and saying, haven't you read it? In Matthew 22, Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. You don't know the scriptures, therefore you don't know the power of God. I don't think we can experience in totality the power of God by pulling that one leg off the stool that needs to be there. It's really, really important. I hope you don't get the impression I'm hollering at you, because I'm not. I'm pointing the finger at me. Here's how I've experienced the power of God, particularly through Scripture. As a little boy, my favorite story was David and Goliath. There's no mystery to that. A shy, awkward, no chuckles about the awkward part. I know I still have a little bit of that. Well, maybe a lot. Very insecure young man got to hear that story, and it stuck in my gut. I don't think that's an accident. I read this scripture, and I'm going to read in just a moment. I mean, really read it between my freshman and sophomore years at Anderson College when I felt God calling me to be a young life leader. I read this, and it was like, oh my gosh, that's for me. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Such a simple thing, but it's like, that was for me. That scripture changed my life. Actually, when I figured out a couple of years ago that all the things that I was trying to do as a pastor that were good really needed to come under that scripture. That I needed to be sharing my life with people, not just hollering at them for a half an hour on Sunday morning. When I read this next scripture, it changed my life for the first time, and then I read it again later on 2 years ago, and it changed my life again. You know this scripture from 2 Corinthians. And all of this is a gift of God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to God. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That changed the way I view things. That scripture, it is powerful. Everything that we're talking about, being a bridge, building a bridge, being ambassadors for Christ, what we experienced last week is all about that, the power of those words. They're alive. They're goading me, they're chasing me, they're prodding me that's what I have to be about, and that's what our church has to be about. Everybody's heard if you've been around church for very long, you've heard the 23rd Psalm. We talked about praying it in a teaching series I did a couple years ago, The Good and Beautiful God. I memorized that, and I was praying that. I've told you this before. I hate to be a broken record, but after Quentin was killed, that's the only way I could pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. That's powerful for me. That those words are alive. They're not a theory. They're real. There's no wrong way for you to taste and see that God's word is powerful. And I don't want you to be frustrated. If you're praying and you're connecting with, you know, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to bless you, and you're a part of this community where iron is sharpening iron, and you don't feel God doing in your life what you think he wants to do, then maybe that third leg is what's missing. There's no bad way to start. There's absolutely no bad way to start. We've heard all these stories of people in a hospital who probably, you know, okay, here. And they started reading. There's no bad way. I can give you a couple of suggestions. If you want to start a point, just start with the 23rd Psalm. Just pray that. Just read that. Just meditate on it. It's got everything. It's like one-stop shopping. 23rd Psalm. But God isn't offended by me calling the greatest psalm ever one-stop shopping. But I just did it. You can also pray and read and focus on this. This is Psalm 51, 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Just start reading that every day. Just read that. Then it'll become memorized, and then you just say it to yourself. Or just begin reading the Gospel of Mark. It's the simplest. Or any of the Gospels. Matthew, Luke, or John. Just slowly, a little at a time. And ask yourself three questions. What is God saying to me? How do I need to be obedient to what God is saying to me? And whose help do I need in order to be obedient to what God is saying to me? Just ask yourself those three questions. That can be a Bible study for anything you're reading. But just, my challenge to you is just start. See if it isn't powerful. See if it isn't alive. See, none of this matters, and it can all become an academic exercise unless we come to the Bible and let it expose us. Don't be afraid. The things that God's Word wants to shine a light on is something that He wants to do a blessing and a good thing in your life so that you can be more useful. So open it up expecting something. And you'll be amazed because you won't need a professional there with you. You'll have God's Word. It's alive. It's a two-edged sword. It exposes, and then God brings the healing. Now, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to just ask the musicians, you guys are coming back up, and ushers, if you can get ready. We're going to take a separate offering, no compulsion. If you want to enable the Gideons to continue to put more scriptures where in the, what's that phrase you guys use, the traffic lanes of life. I can't ever get that. I mean, Sterling must have said that a million times, and traffic lanes of life. If you want to be a part of that, and please do, and we're just excited that we can partner. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you remind us who we are. You remind us through communion who we are. You remind us through the things we've said we value, like releasing. You remind us who we are. And through your word, you remind us who we are and who you want us to be. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.